Welcome to another summer mini-cast of Away With Words. I'm Martha Barnett. We're on our regular summer hiatus, but you think that's going to stop us from talking? No way. In fact, here's a call we couldn't wait to share with you.
Hi, this is Chris Marix calling from San Diego, California.
Welcome,
well, hello, Chris.
Chris
in San Diego. What's cooking in San Diego?
Well, the weather is certainly beautiful, and we're cooking a little because it's nice and warm out today.
Yeah. What else is new?
Right, exactly. So I was raised in New Jersey, and although I live out here now, and when I was a kid, I spent an awful lot of time with a local family, the parents and siblings of a good friend of mine who were Jewish people, and they were Reformed Jews living in New Jersey, and they use a lot of Yiddish expressions, and I'm not Jewish from my family, and one of the expressions they use all the time was Hakmi and Chinik. And we heard it a lot, and I picked up a lot of Yiddishisms from them, from being around them so much.
Uh-huh.
And I always wondered, and they did too, actually, what exactly does that mean? I mean, we knew what it meant contextually. When Mrs. Steinberg said to me, you know, oh, Hakmi and Chinik already, it meant, you know, you're driving me crazy, leave me alone. But
Right. Literally,
we never knew what it really meant.
Ah, do you have any guesses at all what it might have meant?
Well, you know, I've asked a lot of people this question, a lot of Jewish folks who actually have the same experience I have. They all know the expression, but they don't know what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, really
some people, just the other day at my office, a woman said she thought it meant, like, hawk is a reference to hawking your wares or hawking your wares, and in Chinik is to China. So it's like you're kind of driving me nuts so much that I'm, you know, you're driving me nuts to China. So to speak, like that's how far you're driving me crazy. So,
well,
but I don't know how true that is. I mean, who knows?
Not really, no. But
I didn't think it would be.
It's a good guess. But
bonus points for trying, but not really, no. The reason that we know this expression is because it's treated in almost all the books that I have about Yiddish. It's very well known in all the different dialects of Yiddish that have shown up in the United States. But probably the reason that you didn't find it, Chris, is because transliterating from the Yiddish characters, which are very similar to Hebrew, into English means there's a lot of room for variation. So it's
right, hard
to Google this because you're not quite sure how to transliterate
right,
it,
right? Exactly. That's exactly what I've done. So
yeah, exactly. So there are a variety of spellings, and I'm not going to spell them here, but the full form of the phrase as I know it, and pardon me, Yiddish speakers, because I didn't grow up with the language either, but the best that I can do is Hakmir Nitkein Shainik.
Might also so there's be, extra words in there.
There are, yeah.
You
might also say Hakmir Nishkein Shainik, or Shainik, something like that.
Uh-huh.
And the reason what you find is you've hit on something really interesting here, Chris. People know the expression because they learned it from their parents and grandparents. And so maybe they don't have a full mastery of Yiddish. So they remember the phrase, and as you say, they know the context and they know what it means, but they don't know actually what it means in the original language.
Right,
so they're
right,
going to corrupt it a little bit as they use it. They're going to drop words or syllables, and it's going to become transformed over time, become its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess that
China.
Happens with a lot of these Yiddish expressions, too.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it happens in English, too.
Absolutely.
It happens in every language, pretty much, that's spoken for any great length of time. What's really cool about this one is that now that we know what it's from, we know that it's a Yiddish phrase, and we know the original Yiddish, we know that it means, get this, don't knock me a teapot.
Oh, so China is a reference to, I guess, China is China.
No, that's a coincidence that they're even. The word that you're talking about that sounds like China is spelled in the transliteration that I use, T-S-H-A-Y-N-I-K. So it doesn't even look anything like China.
Isn't that funny?
But that's the literal translation. What it means is, don't bang on a tea kettle, or don't harangue me, stop nagging me,
right,
or stop annoying me or pestering me.
Stop because, nagging me already, yes.
Right.
Yeah, if somebody
I
was
know from your nagging.
Yeah, if somebody was banging on a tea kettle with a cup or spoon, right, a metal tea kettle, it's really annoying.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating.
Isn't that funny? That's
so
great.
It's a very well-known expression. I love it. It's so colorful because it just brings the idea. This is why Yiddish is so successful in like bringing words into English, because it's got some color and some like life and vitality to it.
And it's just plain fun. It's really a fun language.
Yeah.
It's fun. But interestingly, in the third or second generations, the verb to hawk, which is the one that kind of means knock, more or less, in Yiddish, and actually I think there's a similar verb in German, has come to mean, because of this expression, to annoy somebody with a lot of excessive talk.
Sure, so you might just, you could say, don't hawk me.
That's right.
Oh,
that's
really?
Exactly right.
I've never
yeah.
heard this.
And somebody who's kind of like a very aggressive go-getter, this is the kind of guy who's got like two cell phones and like he's got a pocket full of business cards and he's always like trying to do a deal and he's trying to, he fancies himself an entrepreneur. He's called a hawker.
Right, right.
He's a guy who never shuts up. He's always talking about his own business, right?
Yeah, and I've heard people say, oh, he thinks he's a hawker, but he's really a nebbish.
There we go. Bingo. Exactly right.
Whoppy.
So thank you, Chris. This is a brilliant. It's your detective work brought you here, and here's your answer. How's that?
Thank you very much. It's been kind of a lifelong question mark in my brain.
So, now
thank
what
you guys for having the show, too, because it
now
was
you can
on
retire.
The show a couple weeks ago that I thought of calling you about this.
Excellent.
Yeah, you should always call when they have these questions. We're always open. Door's always open. We read everything. Listen to everything.
Right. You can knock our tea kettle anytime.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you. Thanks right. very much for that.
All
super
right.
duper.
Take care, Chris.
You bye-bye. Too. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, we do love those lifelong question marks. In fact, we'd love to hear about any kind of punctuation that's rattling around in your brain. Question marks, exclamation points, maybe some ellipses. Email your questions and comments to words@waywardradio.org or call us anytime to leave a message. The number's 1-877-929-9673. That's 1-877-WAYWARD. And if you just can't wait to chat about some aspect of language, your favorite Yiddishism perhaps, drop by our discussion forum. That's at waywardradio.org/discussion. And one more thing. If you want to know more about this marvelous Yiddish expression, Hak mir nisht ken sheinik, check out a book by Michael Wex. It's called Born to Kvetch, and it's one of my favorites. In it, Michael offers some surprising insights into this phrase. Among other things, he explains how it was popularized by the Three Stooges. To read an excerpt from Born to Kvetch, go to our website. The address is waywardradio.org. We should be so lucky to have you visit. You never write, you never call. For Away With Words, I'm Martha Barnett. I'm ready yet. Support for Away With Words comes from WordSmart, the vocabulary building software. Improving your vocabulary, reading comprehension, and critical thinking skills will increase your chances for success. Learn more online at wordsmart.tv. And from iUniverse, supported self-publishing. Is there a book in you? Find out how to publish it at 1-800-AUTHORS or learn more online at iUniverse.com.